At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
All right, so speaking of bangers, are we going to get one on Saturday between the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils?
I think so, too.
Unranked teams. It's funny, at the Duke press room yesterday, Luke Dukakis, the News and Observer, Aaron Beard of the Associated Press, Brendan Marks, The Athletic, and I just kind of say, wait, when's the last time these two teams met up while they were unranked? And Marks looks at me like, are you being serious right now? It was 2 years ago. I'm like, dude, pandemic time doesn't count. I barely remember anything that happened in the pandemic. But yes, 2 years ago is the last time they met unranked. It's going to be unranked on Saturday.
Dennis, can you hit the frequency where the people who work for the Associated Press, who I helped during the football season, can't hear what I'm about to say?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Thank you.
Where's this going?
There isn't anything more worthless in this world than rankings for college basketball.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Do you know why? They play what was a 64-team tournament. It is now a 68-team tournament.
Yeah.
No one, not a single person on this earth, remembers who was number one when the tournament began, when the season began. No one. So what a team is ranked in college basketball does not matter.
What's more worthless, your current net or your AP ranking?
Ha-ha. You were on the... These people are very similar. They're very similar. Uh-huh. Okay? You're getting into the Venn diagram now.
Uh-huh.
What happened last night? Because the people who don't like the net right now are Clemson and Wake Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Although, listen, we'll get to Wake in a second.
Listen, I'm not going to defend the net or... because we don't know the true formula.
That's my for
and
the
that
record.
Is, and that
for
is,
the
if
record.
Anybody wants to bang on what it is, there you go. That's perfectly acceptable.
That is for the record. My only but issue with net is that I don't know what it is.
Okay, well that's fine.
So that's my only beef with the net and the way people obsess over
but
it.
But what I see on the Twitters on a daily basis is, I don't understand. Clemson beat team X, Y, and Z, and yet yesterday they dropped 25 points, and they're behind team X, Y, and Z. What happened last night? Clemson lost on the road to Boston College. So maybe,
yeah.
I don't know, guys. Maybe the computer knows more than the human. I don't know.
Or maybe that's just college basketball. Maybe that's just college basketball where top teams can lose.
Are they a top team? Are they going to make the tournament? Is Clemson going to make the tournament?
I think what Clemson is.
There are no Clemson basketball fans, I would love to trigger them right now because I'm not sure they're going to get in.
So here's the thing about Clemson. They have terrible losses.
They do have terrible losses.
But they also don't have losses to like other good teams, so to speak. So they got like these quad four losses, but they also haven't lost any of these Q1 games either. So
They
haven't played a lot of them. But yes, it's entirely possible that Clemson can go from being atop the league to end January and hosting an NIT game at the end of the season.
We've seen it happen before.
So, yeah, you're going to lose a game where you don't make 17 shots in a row. They missed 17 shots in a row last night. You're going to lose games. Heck, you mentioned Wake Forest and the reason why some Wake Forest fans are upset about the net ranking and everything else. Wake Forest is easier to understand. They finally hit the meaty portion of their schedule, and there's no shame in losing the games that they've lost to. I think that includes Virginia, obviously NC State this past weekend, and then a tough one against Duke last night. And they were still within 2 points of the game with a last-second three there by, I think it was Appleby at the end of the game. Their key guys weren't making shots. I mean, basketball ain't hard sometimes. Yeah. Gotta make shots.
What people don't understand about when you involve a computer is it's a book. And it's the book of the season. It's not just the teams that you beat. It's all of the games that they played and what their opponents have done. So, yes, on a daily basis, when you add hundreds of points of data for hundreds of teams, guess what? You have wide variations. Mm-hmm. So all of the complaining about we won and we fell, last night they lost to a bad Boston College team on the road, mm-hmm. and they only fell two spots in the net. So please, Clemson fans, stop your whinging.
All five of you.
Yeah, both of you.
Clemson basketball fans.
Yes.
All five of you.
Yes. Because I know they're very busy today at Name, Image, and Likeness Day at Clemson because Dabo says now it's time. And they were doing this, of course, in the Clemson, if I get this right, the Clemson Athletic brand. And see, they don't like it when I say that. The Clemson Branding Athletic Institute.
Mm-hmm.
They tweeted a picture. They were so proud of themselves today. I'm like,
Yeah, Alabama.
A meeting room?
Yeah, Alabama unveiled one a couple of weeks ago, too. Some, like, business center. It's essentially one of those, what's the name of the office places? Like they got them in North Hills, right?
No, but it looks like a Fairfield Inn lobby what it is.
No, what it looks like to me, I forgot the name of the companies where the remote office sites, like, you don't actually have an office, but if you need to rent an office.
WeWork, the scam that is WeWork.
Well, they weren't the only ones, but yeah, that's basically what it is. WeWork, right? Like these weird communal office spaces. That's what it looks like to me. But yeah, they're like these NIL rooms. Nah, it's a conference room where you can bring in speakers to talk about brands and things like
that.
It's
the Clemson Athletic Branding Institute.
Yeah, and shout out to Dabo Swinney on signing day, signing day number 5 or whatever this is, where he talked about not a single one of these guys came to Clemson for name, image, and likeness.
No.
But please give to our name, image, and likeness collectives because we don't want anybody to leave because of name, image, and likeness. So good, man. So good. So how do you tie this all together? You're wondering, man, Ovies and Jillia wanted some weird tangents. No, we're not. We're tying all this together. It's all in how you want to present things, okay? And that's how it is with college basketball right now. I brought up rankings. You're like, what do rankings matter? It's how you want to present it. For TV purposes, showing an AP Top 25 is easy for people to understand.
They literally have a tournament. That's the difference between college basketball and college football.
Again,
they never settled anything on the field in college football for the longest time.
No, I don't disagree.
In college basketball, they had a tournament and have had a tournament.
I get that. But for television purposes, for the audience to understand the relative good or badness of a team, putting a number next to you is easy to do. And last time I checked, ESPN's not throwing up a net number on there because then they have to go through the process of explaining net, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. They're not going to put KenPom numbers up there. It's like when you watch NBC Sunday Night Football and they put those, you talk
PFF
Fugazi.
Grades.
You talk Fugazi. You love that word. I'll tell you Fugazi. Some offensive lineman's PFF score. What? Anyway. So people like numbers. That's how they gauge how good or bad something is, which then gets us to Duke and Carolina and whether or not these teams are good or bad. I don't think it matters. In fact, I don't think a lot of what happens on Saturday matters because here's the thing. As I'm watching Duke last night, for the record, I like this Duke team. This Duke team has a level of fight that last year's Duke team did not have. Last year's Duke team might be more talented because of Paolo Banchero and the crew, but what did I figure out real quick with that Duke squad last season? Front runners. You call it sunny day? They really enjoy dunking on you. We saw it at Wake Forest, and I'm like, man, when the going's good, y'all love it. You're hamming for the camera. Mark Williams was doing the on-top thing all the time. But when the going got tough, they didn't know what to do. This team does. They ain't pretty. They go through scoring droughts, but man, they fight. They will fight. And that's going to be interesting to see against Carolina in that Armando Bacot will probably face the toughest interior defense he'll see in the ACC. Okay? So that relies on Caleb Love to have what he's had in these games, which are big nights from three, or R.J. Davis, and depending on how his black eye is, big nights, drawing fouls, hitting shots, etc., or some other player that maybe you haven't thought of stepping up. So that's kind of how I see this game playing out. But when I say it doesn't matter, all right, so let's say Duke wins. Then what? Then what? What happens? Carolina's got like immunity, you know? It's like, oh, cool.
But this season, yeah, I understand your
because,
larger point about
there's
the rivalry.
No, there's nobody, because here's the thing, there's nobody on that Duke squad. Jeremy Roach, right? But there's no, and this is tough to articulate, I'll admit. What is this team's connection to last year? The Duke team. What happened at Cameron Indoor Stadium or in the Final Four?
Oh, they got what? Blakes and Roach.
That's it. That's it. And you got the coaching staff, but as we've discussed, John Shire is here for John Shire. What happened last year, that was Coach K's farewell tour. He had his instances where he filled in, but he really starts his career now in his chapter in the rivalry, which was not a part of last year. So the stakes for Duke are a little bit different.
Well, we have assigned a finality to last year's wins.
Yes,
right?
We have.
That simply has not been what the norm is in the Triangle. You want to go back to when NC State ran the league. You want to go back to Everett Case. Oh, it must be, it's over. They got the best coach. Well, then here comes this guy named... Then Vic Bubas goes to Duke. Oh, what's Carolina going to... Oh, they got Dean Smith. 82, Dean Smith finally... go to 74. State wins it. Oh, my God, they got David Thompson. This is the best team ever. Well, Phil Ford decides to go to Carolina. All of a sudden, back to Carolina. Carolina wins their first title in 82. What happens the very next year? NC State wins. Duke wins 91, 92. What happens the very next year? Carolina wins. Carolina makes this crazy Final Four run in 00. What happens the very next year? Duke wins the title. So these teams have a tendency, 15, Duke wins. Very next year, Carolina goes to the final.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we forget the back and forth because, well, quite frankly, NC State has decided not to hold up its end of the bargain.
No.
But there's always a push and pull to the universe. And I think that's what matters. Like I said to you yesterday, this is a new chapter. This is the new beginning. This is Shire versus Davis. So how will it begin? I don't know. But I am curious to see how it plays out.
I'll be watching. I'll be there. You mentioned NC State. I'll throw Wake Forest into this.
These games have been good. The Big Four games have been good.
That's the thing. At one point this season, I was kind of wondering, man, this is going to be a slog of a basketball season. But, you know, it's actually played through, and we can debate the talent levels and the NCAA tournament chances of any of these teams. Credit when credit's due, man. When any of the Big Four teams have played, we've gotten some entertainment. We've gotten some drama. That's all I ask for. So shout out to the Big Four, man. It's been an entertaining basketball season within that group.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
So I was at Cameron Indoor Stadium last night for the Duke Wake Forest game, but you know, you got Twitter up and you're kind of keeping an eye on things. And shout out to Brandon. He was one of our Canes correspondents last playoff series. You know, we had our guy Graham Hill, who now works here at 99.9 The Fan, and Brandon also came on as one of our Canes correspondents, who I believe we're bringing that back this upcoming round of playoffs. So be on the lookout for that. And Brandon's tweeting through it, man. He's like, why is it that every time I spend $200 to come to a Canes game, that's the night they decide to not play well, right? It's like 4-1. And of course, I'm like, oh, okay.
It's
one of those nights, right? Oof. Look, man. Scheduled loss, right? There's just some things where you lose. It's a long regular season. You move on. But, you know, that's antiquated thinking. That's not thinking the way the Carolina Hurricanes think, who do not quit ever. And they came back and won that game in overtime. If it's not Marty Natchez being on one, last night it was Sebastian Aho being on one. And I quickly tweeted at Brandon, as they tied the game, I say, will you shut up now about all the money you spent on this game? You should be highly entertained based on what you're seeing right now. He's like, fine. But that's the Hurricanes, man. Marty Natchez said it on Friday night when they beat the San Jose Sharks after the Sharks had scored an empty net goal. One of the rare moments where a team that scores an empty net or late in a game manages to lose a game in the end. And Marty Natchez says, don't go home, man. Don't leave early. And the Canes did it again last night. Here's Adam Gold, Canes Corner Podcast, brought to you by the Aluminum Company. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Let's do that hockey.
All right, boys and girls, I have 2 minutes for an attitude adjustment. We didn't get the chance to have this little chat after the Canes did San Jose dirty on Friday. Martin Natchez scored with Carolina's net empty. Then, 55 seconds into extra time, they stole 2 points. That was amazing. I laughed through the entire aftermath. Well, if you thought that was funny, this'll kill you. The Hurricanes surrendered 4 goals in the second period and were seemingly boarding a plane to Buffalo down 4-1, heading to the third. Somebody that you know might have actually tweeted out about going to the next game already. I don't know who that was.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
Paul Stastny started 3.5 minutes into the third.
Shot from Stepan on the rebound, they score! Paul Stastny!
6 minutes later, the captain redirected a Brett Pesce drive past Phoenix Copley to make it a 1-goal game.
Now back for Pesce. He's got room to work. He'll wrist one. He'll score! Deflected out in front. And of course, it's the captain, Jordan Staal.
Then on Carolina's first power play of the night, Teuvo Teravainen ripped one through. That drew the game level with 7.5 left.
Svechnikov back to Teravainen. This time he shoots and scores! And hang on to the roof! Carolina has tied it at 4!
Heck, the Canes had a few great looks at avoiding overtime, and they nearly ended it really fast a few times in the OT. But with inside of a minute left, Sebastian Molten Lava Aho called game.
Aegis takes a look, gets it to Burns.
Five straight games with a goal. 8 in that span for Aho. Canes have won 6 straight. They lead the Metro by 6. What's in store in Buffalo tonight? Anybody's guess.
That's Adam Gold. That's 2 minutes. Maybe the Carolina Hurricanes are just bored with the regular season and they're finding ways to work the game, you know?
Either that or they just keep playing.
It's like your kids in Minecraft. They get bored with the normal game, so they start figuring out ways to hack it. Like, I'm going to build a redstone thing that allows me to play Doom on Minecraft. Why not? I'm kind of bored with the game right now. Maybe that's what the Hurricanes are doing in the regular season. Just finding new ways to up the ante, right? Like, you in Tecmo Bowl. You've tried to win a Super Bowl with one of the worst teams in Tecmo Bowl, right? You got bored with the game. So you try something new. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. Hey, let's spot you 4-1. See if we can come back from that. I mean, we just did it the other night. 4-2?
I was going to say, another bad period is what is kind of, you know, well, you know what Rod Brindamore is going to be.
It's the process, man.
Yes.
It's the process.
But the process, how does the process work so well in that last period that now however many games are points in 8? Is it 8 straight games that got points?
I was going to say.
Second best record in the NHL now?
They haven't dropped a point in the last 9 or 10 games or whatever it is.
You don't
on top of the 6-game winning.
You don't
streak.
Want me to say who they remind me of.
Who do they remind you of?
Remind me of the Panthers from last
no,
year. The Florida Panthers.
Joe, why would you do that?
Because last year the Florida Panthers were winning all these games and they were rallying.
Here's
and
the difference between the two, though. I think this has been a consistent.
What?
Yeah, stop that.
Yeah, they were.
The one I'll say this about, for all the excitement that the Carolina Hurricanes are giving you, and the fact that what they did last night in combination with what they did with Friday night. I got home late last night, turned on SportsCenter at 11 o'clock whenever the Kentucky game wrapped up. And what the Canes did was actually one of the top stories on SportsCenter. I was like, oh, look, they're actually going to give prime time to the Hurricanes in the first block of SportsCenter? Damn, they must have done something crazy, which they did. The players might... The players they bring in might change over the last 4 to 5 years, but the core group is still there, like Sebastian Aho, obviously, Marty Natchez, et cetera, right? This has been a consistent thing that they've done since Rod Brindamore has taken over. It's that process that you like to bring up. This is not the first time they've had some wild ups and downs in the course of a game. I'm not saying this is normal. Clearly it's not, because they're doing some things the last couple of days that go into ESPN stats and information overdrive. I'm simply saying that the Hurricanes have a consistency under Rod Brindamore that they can overcome bad periods and still find ways to win. If I hear Adam talking about they stole another 2 points again, I'm like, that's what they do. They steal points. Sometimes you have to steal points in order to have the kind of record they do and kind of distance themselves against the New Jersey Devils. But this is where I become the party pooper with the Carolina Hurricanes. What they do in the regular season is absolutely incredible, and it's been crystallized this season. They bring in new guys, and they can still keep this machine going. They are an efficient, successful team. They are an analytics darling. Again, this is not a new concept for the Carolina Hurricanes. We shouldn't be in astonishment of how they're analytics darlings. But that's not what it's about, man. The regular season sets you up for what you're going to do in the postseason. Home court, home ice advantage and everything else. The question for the Canes is, can Sebastian Aho do this at another level in the postseason, which has been a little bit inconsistent? Can Andrei Svechnikov take it to another level? Will the Marty, you talk about the Panthers being hot and going away. My concern would be, hey, Marty Natchez, will this continue to be the thing all the way through the postseason? Are you going to step up too and be that dude?
Yeah,
as I mentioned with Aho. So the concern that I have is, without Max Pacioretty, who was brought in to be that guy, and I'm going to sound real knuckle-draggy meatball sports talk radio host here, to be a dude, which has been the problem for the Carolina Hurricanes in the postseason, I still think, despite all the wonders of the regular season, they should get a rental. They should bring in somebody who can help close the deal in the window that they're in right now, because this team might be up for a massive shakeup in the next year or two. So that's my only concern with the Carolina Hurricanes going forward. I get your point about the Panthers. I'm more concerned about, will the dude step up?
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.